go straight into the happier numbers. Generally, I'll go into the voice and SMS side of the business, whereby what we've seen over the last few years is probably customers shifting into the OT over the top sort of business model.
Mm-hmm.
Now, building, what do you see for Safaricom going forward in that sector?
Well, I think continue. Voice will always be there. It's still 35% of our revenue. It will still continue to be there, because not everybody has the ability to you know, or have a phone that can access data, or you know, or just have a need. They just need basic voice. So I think voice will always be there, but of course it will become flat, or it is flat already. It might even decline. But I think the future for Safaricom, and I've said this, is its data. You know, that's why we are focusing very much on rolling out a 4G network across Kenya, so that we have a data network. And I've said this, and I'll say it again, it's not just to have access to a data network, you need to have a good data experience. And then this is where our revenue will come from. This is where the main revenue source will be, the basis of our revenue will be data going forward.
Michael, another question would be on another key product that has led to the growth of Safaricom, which is the M-Pesa product. And I was watching one of the interviews recently, how you envision that being some sort of a very, very sticky sort of product. And I think we've reached that stage where it's very, very sticky. And previously there were talks on how to get approval from the regulator, which is CBK, to increase the limits in terms of money transfer, in terms of transfer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How is that coming along?
No, we've had a number of talks. Okay, let me go back to your original question. Yeah, I think M-Pesa is a very, very important product for us. And who would have known 10 years ago that would be such an important product? Who would have known? Nobody would have known. But nevertheless, it's become a very important product for us, as you've seen. 35% of our revenue, maybe a little bit more. It'll grow to be a bigger portion of our revenue going forward. And we will introduce a number of products and services on M-Pesa, financial services, to offer even more services, not just to our consumer, but also to the business community, SMEs and so on. So I think this will continue. On the limits, we are in active negotiation or discussion with CBK to increase the limits. There are concerns about this, of course, because of money laundering, terrorism funding, management of the money velocity, which CBK has concerns about. But you know, as we've done from the very beginning, we'll work with the CBK to come up with a solution, and I'm hoping that some of the limits will be increased pretty soon.
Okay, interesting. Still speaking on M-Pesa, in the last investor relations, investor briefing, the company announced the process of trying to acquire the brand from Vodafone, and you mentioned that you're working closely and JV with Vodafone to see how that comes into. What do you see would be the advantages of now bringing that brand into the local market?
Okay, let me clarify. Let me first clarify. Okay, the M-Pesa brand. M-Pesa brand belongs to Safaricom, okay? What we don't have is the IP, which is the intellectual property rights of the M-Pesa product, okay? That belongs to Vodafone. Now, what is being negotiated with Vodafone is bringing both the management of the M-Pesa product from Vodafone to a joint venture between Safaricom and Vodacom. And that's what we negotiated, which includes the IP, which includes the management of the M-Pesa product, which is the platform, the G2 platform, the growth, the roadmap in terms of product and services coming, the maintenance of the platform. All of that was managed to a large extent from the UK. Now, economies of scale, reasons of our focus. So the plan is that we would, for Africa, that we bring that to be headquartered in Nairobi and be jointly owned between Safaricom and Vodacom. And that's underway.
Another question would be just about the general economy. We've seen Safaricom stock has over the last 1 year, it's up 29.25% as of yesterday. Over the last 2 weeks, then this sort of the interest cut, the removal discussion and all that. Now, for Safaricom investors, do you think this sort of removal of the red cap would kickstart the economy, and probably for Safaricom's customers that sort of increase their power purchasing? What possibly?
First of all, I'm not an economist, okay, and I'm not a banker, so I have no really answer to your question about what would the removal of the rate cap do to the general economy. I'm not in a position to answer your question at all. Whatever I'll do will be mere speculation as a citizen, as a public citizen, as a layman. I have no idea. Will it improve the economy? Will it stimulate the economy? I don't know. As a layman, I don't see it, but you know, maybe some economists will tell me different. From our point of view, I think in terms of what we see, Safaricom, I mean, we've seen the impact of the economy, the challenges with the economy for us customers. Disposable income is obviously down, so we've seen that impact in this half year. Going forward, if there will be some stimulation in the economy, I think we will feel it as well. Whether there will be or not, I don't know. From our share price, I think our share price has stabilized to some extent around the price that we have now. Will it go massively up or down? It's difficult for me to say. You know, many times share prices are not affected by performance of Safaricom, more external factors, as you probably well know. So let's see. I don't know. I'm hopeful that, you know, for Kenya, I'm hopeful that the economy, there'll be a better economy going forward. There'll be more stimulation. There'll be more spending. But, you know, who knows what will happen. You know, the debt limit for the country is also a big impact. The budget, you've seen the budget cuts that are coming. This will impact the man and woman in the street, for sure.
Okay, interesting. On expansion, you've spoken on plans to go into the Ethiopian market, given the opportunity in terms of the population and all that. Just curious to know, what would be Safaricom's entry strategy?
I think, as I said in the presentation earlier, Ethiopia is a prize. It's the last prize, big prize in Africa in terms of telecommunications. It's 100 million people. It's a monopoly operator there. Not a very big network, not a very good network. There's huge opportunity in Ethiopia, and everybody who is a mobile operator in the world will be looking at this opportunity, including ourselves. We will definitely be part of it. We'll play our part. You know, how we will play our part, with what, how do we do it, with whom, is still to be decided. Obviously, we'll go in with our shareholder, with Vodacom. That's pretty obvious. What will our strategy be? That's for sure. I can't tell you that. You know.
Is Safaricom looking at any other market in the long run apart from the UK?
No.
Now, about the newly launched test strategy to keep the company simple, lean, transparent and honest. Probably a brief about that, to how this translates to basically to what this means for investors as an example.
Look, first of all, I think if you look at a company the size of Safaricom, the age of Safaricom, we're 19 years old, going on for 20 now. We're quite a mature company. I think from an investor point of view now, I'll purely talk about the investor, not the consumer, because that's the focus of your question. I think to reinvigorate the company at this stage in the company's life, to sort of determine, okay, which direction are we going? Should we go in another direction? Should we reinvigorate the company? Should we have a new focus of energy and direction? This is the right time to do it. And I think the investors, public, will appreciate that. It's difficult to do, but it's better to do it now than later than never. Because I think, you know, a company like Safaricom, which is innovative, working in a very competitive market, in a very high technical market, we need to be completely always innovating. And this is now part of that innovation. You say, okay, let's look in another direction. Let's look at how we provide the services. What services do we provide? And how do we do it? And how do we sell those services to our consumer? And this is what we've done. And I think it's very exciting to do it. It's a big thing to do. You know, it's not a thing you just do overnight, although we've managed almost to do it overnight. But it's not just the product. It's also the way we think. The how we deal with the customer in the shops, in the call centers, and then just in how we deal with ourselves internally, which is important. And I think we're doing a good job of it. And our challenge, my challenge as the CEO and the management team, is to make sure it happens and continues.
Still on strategy, since day one, Safaricom, I think they've invested usually on infrastructure, and that's what has really been paying off. And after the results briefing, you mentioned that there was a bit of increase in terms of capital and all that. Do you see that going forward?
Look, what we've done in this financial year is we've moved our capex forward. You know, normally you spread your capex over the whole financial year, so we've taken some of the capex that we would have spent in the second half and we moved them into the first half, and you've seen that in the free cash flow. And this is a deliberate thing to say, we're pushing ahead and we have a 4G data acceleration project that we want to bring data to the whole country by the year end. And this is the reason for that, is that invest more in the 4G network, to some extent, replace some of the older network with new elements, to provide a better 4G service to our customers.
One of Safaricom's product was on the Masoko product. Probably what I think would be very insightful for our readers would be that whole aspect. How do you see Safaricom playing in that e-commerce space with respect to this, but still trying to keep the same sort of?
Look, Imsoka was an e-commerce initiative that was started a few years ago. It hasn't proven to be as successful as we would have liked. I think we still need to be in that business. We still need to focus on that. We still need to be in that e-commerce space, because of course with PESA it's ideal and it's the perfect place for us to be. But I think we need to what I've done when I've come in and came in is to take another look at it and say, let me see, how are we doing it? What strategy do we have? What is it, cost effective? Is it got a revenue contribution? And that's where we are right now with Masoko. So it's just taking another look at it. I've controlled it a little bit before I relaunch it into the marketplace.
Okay. The last one is on leadership. So I'm just curious to understand. During Forbes, one of Forbes' last interviews, you mentioned the next Safaricom leader should be a mergers and acquisition guy.
I don't know about that. let me say this. I think it's always been Safaricom and the shareholders, a dream of Safaricom was to expand into Africa. And, you know, Bob always said, he was not a merger, an acquisitions guy, you know, he was, and I think quite rightly so. But also I think, you know, there's no point in just doing a merger and acquisition just for the sake of doing a merger and acquisition. We should do it for the right reasons. If it does enhance shareholder value, does it increase the revenue? Is it a real right space for us to go into? I think this is still the question to be answered, and I think the new leadership, Peter, is not a mergers and acquisitions guy either. But maybe he'll have more incentive to do more mergers and acquisitions. He's a different guy to Bob. I'm of a similar kind to Bob. You know, I was of course very a bit more expensive than Bob was, but you know, you can't just do it just for the sake of doing it, just to acquire something because it can be acquired. It doesn't add shareholder value, and if it doesn't, why do it? Okay, thank you.
Maybe a question from me in terms of the international money transfer, the PayPal and Alipay. It recorded a 45% growth. Where are you seeing it as we go into the other half of the year?
Look, I think IMT, International Money Transfer, is very underrated, very underserved at the moment. Underserved, not underrated. Underserved. I think there's huge room to grow. And, you know, you see now with PayPal, Facebook Money, Apple Money, and all the International Money Transfer apps that you can get now, it's really growing because it's so simple and easy to do, you know. And if you look at, I saw some figures yesterday, I can't remember them unfortunately or fortunately, but it definitely is a growing business for us. And I think also because if you look at what's, you know, we are not into the big money transfer that must be done through the banking system. We're into the small money transfer, the diaspora sending money home with school fees and somebody going in the other direction. And I think there's huge opportunity here still, because if we can keep the cost down per transaction, okay, this will be very attractive. Okay,
thank you.
Great stuff.
Thanks.
We done?
Thanks.